Our lesson today is on the subject of overcoming limiting factors with a winning attitude. So let us pray over the lesson and get to it. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to share the word of God together. The entrance of your word, we know, brings light and gives understanding. Even so, let it be this morning to the glory of your name, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, so, you know, we've been talking about the other day we were doing, talking about enablers and blockers. This is another perspective. What are limiting factors preventing us from reaching our fullest potential? There are many exhortations in the Bible for us to break forth and to have a winning attitude. And we see many stories in the Bible as well. The first thing to consider is the words that came out of God's mouth to the man right after creation. First things he said was, be fruitful and multiply, and subdue the earth. So right away, the Lord wanted him to be a winner, to be in charge, subdue, be in charge and produce and increase. And these were the things, that the Lord declared over the man right from the word go. And, that should give us the concept of always expecting to win. There are those that always are pessimistic and have a defeatist attitude. They're always expecting some bad thing to happen or some, for them, come out on the, with the short end of the stick. A winner, on the other hand, always expects to win. Go in any situation expecting to win, not expecting to lose. Because we are not losers. We are winners. And God has made us so. And we have victory in the name of the Lord Jesus over every situation that God has given us. So some of the things that cause us to limit our own potential, or not, blossom to the fullest potential that God has put in us. Those are the things we want to deal with today. This platform, by the grace of God, is helping to transform us from just being average believers to champions of faith. That's what we want to be. I don't want to just be an average believer that the devil will just be pushing around. We want to be champions of faith. Everywhere you are and in every situation, you expect to win. So it's kind of like going into a ball game or whatever. You go in there expecting to win. You don't go in, expecting to be defeated. If you go in expecting to be defeated, then you will be defeated. You go in with a winner's attitude, expecting, to win. We'll look at some stories, of some people that had this winner's attitude in the scriptures and some of the exhortations that God gives us, to be strong and to be a winner and not to be, have that losing attitude or pessimistic attitude. God wants us to have a positive winning attitude all the time, positive perspective on life. We don't want to have, a negative attitude. Now, let's look at some of these things that God, said to people in the scriptures about, breaking forth and expanding and overcoming and different things like that. That's important for us. Sometimes we carry that winner's attitude, but then oftentimes because of buffetings and different trials and so forth, disappointments, we forgot to maintain that winner's posture, that attitude, that says, I can do all things through Christ. We forget that attitude. Sometimes Philippians chapter 4 verse 13, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Let's look at some of the testimonies that Paul gives about, you know, situations that he was able to overcome because of this attitude that he has, you know, a positive winning attitude was what he had. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, spoke about all the things that came up against him and how he always, you know, always was a winner, whether through difficulties, through trials, through this and that, you know, was always a winner. Let's read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9. That's what I meant to say. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9. Here's Paul talking about all the things that befell him. So, we are troubled on every side, he said, yet not distressed. That's not a losing attitude. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. I mean, this man, he knew, you know, how to be a winner. And he declared the same all the same. No matter how all the things that come up against me, you know, I'm not going to give in and I'm not going to give up. Basically, it's what he was saying. Romans chapter 8, he talked about this, you know, expressed the same winning attitude for us to emulate. And here's what he said. What shall we say then? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's a winner's attitude. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Yeah, that's a winner's attitude, that you're expecting to get an answer from the Lord. Who shall lay anything in charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? Yeah. It is Christ that died, yea, rather that has risen again, who also is at the right hand of God, that maketh intercession for us. Who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? And these are all the things that he testifies here that overcome. Whether it's tribulation, he said, I will win over that too. You know, whether it's distress, I will win over that. Whether it's persecution, I will win over that. Famine or nakedness or peril or the sword, you know, all these things. He said, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. It's a winner's attitude. Through him that loved us, I am persuaded, he said, that neither death, you know, not even death scares him, you know. Death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. You know, what hasn't even happened doesn't bother him. He's going in knowing that he's going to be a winner. You know, going expecting to win. Not height, not death. In other words, whether I am up, I'm a winner. Whether I'm down, I'm a winner. No other creature, nothing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I mean, nothing is going to defeat this man. He has that winner's attitude. There's a few others in the Bible that said similar things. You know, Micah would say something like that in Micah chapter 7, verse 8. He said, look, even if you knock me down, I am going to get up again. Hallelujah. Don't try to rejoice over me, O my enemy, for you're not going to get the better of me. I am a winner, and I will not stay down for the count. You know, if you knock me down, he said, I will arise. Even when I sit in darkness, I expect the light is going to shine again upon my ways. You know, it's a winner attitude. They're not going to succumb to, you know, the gloom or defeatist attitude. No. They are winners. You know, this man, Habakkuk, he said the same thing. Habakkuk 3:17 to 19, he said, look, I don't care if I lost everything. My finances are gone. My investments are over. I mean, I lost everything. Nothing is blossoming at the moment. But I expect to win. Said the Lord will make my feet like hinds' feet. I'm coming out on the other side as a winner. You know, no matter what I'm going through right now, even bankruptcy, he said, this can't stop me from rejoicing in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. I will joy in the Lord, he said. And this is a winner's attitude. You're expecting, you know, as a positive attitude, that it's going to be all right. Praise God. No matter what is going on, never taking the defeatist, negative, losing attitude, but also always a winner's attitude. You know, no matter what's going on. There was a woman in the scriptures whose child died. Yet she kept saying, well, it is well. Yeah, asked her, even her husband asked her, you know, said, well, it is well. Why are you going to the prophet today? It's not even the Sabbath day or this and that. I said, it is well. It is well and it shall be well. And she refused to take the negative in, you know, and that is all that she would say. It is well. A positive attitude. And she used that to overcome in that situation. You can read that story in 2 Kings chapter 4. Always it is well, she said. And she knew that her son was already dead. How do you say it is well when your son is dead? Well, that's a winner's attitude. He was expecting to receive that son back again to life. You know, she go in with that expectation. That's really, you know, what I'm trying to talk about. So the things that can be limiting factors will be the negative attitudes. When we see a bunch of roses and thorns, you know, because roses grow among thorns, that's for protection. You know, the way God put it like that. And if all you see are the thorns, well, that's a loser attitude. But you see that the roses, that's right, you know. You see a glass that's halfway full with water. If you see and call it a half empty glass, that's a losing attitude because it implies that the water is depleting. But the other, another person will see the same thing and call it a half full glass of water. That's a winner's attitude. This is the positive way that we ought to think. Isaiah 50 and verse 7. He said, I know, I'm positive, I'm persuaded also, that the Lord is going to help me and I'm going to be a winner. Always a winner. I am a winner. I set my face like a flame. I put my game face on. Nothing can deface me. You know, I am ready and I will come out and I will not be ashamed. You know, positive, winning declarations. Moses sent forth a few folks, 12 of them to go spy out the land. You know, some of them, many of them, 10 of them came back with a losing, defeatist attitude. They were losers. You know, God already gave them the commandment to go forth. They said, we can't do it. These people will defeat us. They're stronger than us. Those are losers. Two of them said, no, we are winners. Let's go up at once. We can do this thing because the Lord already said it and the Lord delights in us and we will do it. We will have these people for lunch. We can do it at once. That's a winner's attitude. And the winner attitude was always in David. Listen to some of the things that David said. You know, he was a man that was full of distresses, even though he was appointed to be king or anointed rather to be king. Was always running for his life from Saul, was trying to kill him, you know, and then he had many other problems, even within his own household. But his attitude was always one of the winner. He would not, you know, allow any of these circumstances to get the better of him. The Lord is my light, he said in Psalm 27, and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Lord is the strength of my life. I can't be afraid of anybody. I'm a winner. You know, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes come up against me, I expect them to stumble and to fall. That's right. I always expect to win, no matter what. And hosts encamping against me, doesn't matter. My heart shall not fear. War come up against me, I will be confident even in that. That's a winner's attitude. You know, he knew how to position himself for victory. And so, you know, these are the things. You got to have that winning attitude to pull down the limiting factors. Let's not limit ourselves, you know, by being negative. And actually, you know, the Lord hates that, because when we limit ourselves, it's more or less like even limiting the Lord, because the Lord say you can do it, and then you say, well, I can't do it. And God never liked that. He was angry with them for that reason. There's a story which we have read, you know, this story that we've read in Numbers 14. They limited God. They said they couldn't do it. And God was angry with them. And Psalm 78, you know, reported that, or recorded it. Psalmist recorded it. He said, look, these people again and again, they tempted the Lord and limited the Holy One of Israel. When God told them to go forward, they said, we can't. When God brought them out, they said, we don't have anything to eat. I mean, they were just always having that defeated attitude. We're going to die here in the wilderness. Did you bring us here to die? And they forgot the great hand of the Lord. The limiting factors in their life are preventing them to go forward or to get into the promised land was all their negative attitude and the fear. Fear has torment, and it's a great limiter. It will limit us, you know, from expanding into the things, you know, that God wants us, you know, to become the best version of yourself, you know, to get to your greatest potential. You know, you may just be staying around the same place and not going forward. You got to go forward, the Lord said. And listen to this in Isaiah chapter 54. Let's read the first four verses. And as we read these things, begin to picture how you overcome the negative thoughts. It says, well, you can't do it, or you are the, you know, end of your blossoming years. Sing, he said, O barren, that is not bare. Sing, break forth into singing and cry aloud, that is not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate and the children of the married wives, said the Lord. Enlarge, see, right there. Enlarge the place of your tent. You know, always have, you know, this expansion, winning, gaining attitude. Stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. Spare not, lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Why? For thou shalt break forth. That's a winner. You will break forth on the right hand and on the left. And your seed shall inherit the Gentiles. Make also the desolate cities to be inhabited. That's right. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither shalt thou be confounded. Thou shalt not be put to shame. You know, the Lord began to tell them. And they themselves took on that winning posture. David, in many of his, you know, many of his stories of all the different things that he was into, his attitude was one of a winner. He said, well, by my God, I can do things which people don't normally think we can do. By God, I run through a troop. By my God, I leap over a wall. Psalm 18, you know, verse 29. This is a winner's attitude. He said, with even my hands, I can bend a bow of steel. you know, it didn't matter to him what come up against him, whether it's a lion, it doesn't matter. And I'd say beer didn't matter. He always going in with the, you know, the attitude to win. He went after the lion with the attitude to get stuff back that belonged to him. Same thing with the beer. How do you go up against a lion that has a prey in his, you know, in his mouth? Can't do it, but he did it. And, same thing with the beer. Beer came in and took one of the young sheep from the flock. He said, not on my watch. You give back what's mine. You know, and that's a winner's attitude. He went in expecting to win, and he came out a winner. He went against Goliath, the same attitude. He said, you, look, yeah, we heard that you are a man of war and renowned everywhere. You destroyed all those nations and everything, and all the people who are terrorized about you. You come against me in shields and spears and things like that. But I come against you in the name of the Lord, and I will have your head today. He was saying it even before it happened. I'm going to have your head. Praise God, you know, because you have defied the armies of the living God. And I'll show you today. As a winner's attitude, he would not let, you know, Goliath was a bully and a terror, you know, bullying everybody, terrorizing them. Everybody was cowering in their corners, but not David. And he came there, asked his brother, what's going on? Everybody said this, and I said, well, what are you guys doing about it? He said, what can we do about it? Look at the man. I mean, got all the stories we've heard about all the things he did. There was not a person anywhere that could challenge him. I said, oh, so you're all just going to sit down in the corner here? My brother said, Eliab, come up to me and said, I know the pride of your heart. You come out here to spy out the war. Go home. He said, go home. You know, my father sent me here. And as long as I'm here, I'm going to check things out. He said, yeah, I know. You know, that's why you just want to come and see what's going on. He said, war. I don't see any fighting. I don't see any war. All I see is, you know, a bunch of losers hiding in the corner. You know, I don't see anybody standing up to this bully. You know, and he began to say these things. People say, who is this guy? Why is he talking like this? Nobody can go up against this guy. You know, brother kept telling him, I tell you, go home. This is no place for youngsters. He said, well, you know, so they, you know, it was rumored to the king. There's a young lad here just shooting off his mouth. And he said, well, before that, David had asked, you know, what's the king going to do to somebody that can take this man out? He said, the king will give him his daughter. He said, ah, daughter, I like that one. You know, so he goes up to the king and said, the king looks at him and said, you can't go up against this guy. I mean, look at you. The man, even his shield alone, I mean, he's this. The king began to tell him things to melt his heart. He said, no, let not the king think so. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, I've been in situations where things looked impossible, and I was keeping my father's sheep all alone in the wilderness, you know. A lion came up against me to take one of the flock. You know, I went after him, got in a hand-to-hand combat with this thing, and I got back what was mine. I said, you fought the lion and took the prey out of his mouth? I sure did. I got these scars over here to prove it too. And he said, look, when I went out against the bear the same way, and when that bear rose up against me, it looked as big as this Goliath, perhaps even bigger. I took him down, and I will take down this Goliath as well. I mean, this man, you know, people thought he wasn't trained. They say, you're not trained. Okay, well, this is a suicide mission. Put on my armor and so forth. He tried it. He almost collapsed. He couldn't do it. You know, I don't feel comfortable with this stuff. Give me a few moments. Went, you know, found a nearby brook. Say, yeah. The angel of the Lord pointed him to some 5 smooth stones. Said, that's it. I got it. I got this. Returns to say, you know, let me go. Sound the alarm. Sound the battle trumpet. We got a champion. Glory to God. And that's what Goliath was chiding them every day. Send me a champion. There's no need for everybody to fight and kill each other. There'll be one-on-one. Any champion, take me out, we will surrender. But if I kill him, you will be ours. He knew nobody would face him, but not David. David said, I'll take you out in the name of the Lord. He went in expecting to win. Are you a winner? Do you have a winner's attitude and a winning attitude that will not stay down for the count, that will always bounce back and always expect to win? Even if at the moment you are not winning, you expect to win overall. You get knocked down in round 3, you are going 15 rounds, you still know that you can win this bout. That's right. You may not have won the round, but you know you're going to win the bout. You're in there for the win. You're not in there just to compete. You're in there for the win. Glory to God. Why? Because Jesus already gave us the victory. Jesus already said, look, I have overcome the world for you. In the world, John 16 and 33, you will have tribulations. Now, many things will come up against you. But, you know for a certainty that I've already overcome for you. So go in as a winner, expecting to win. Don't expect negative things, you know. Some people are always expecting some great evil to happen to them. Even Job was thinking about that, you know. Job was a man that was upright in his ways, but he had these negative thoughts in his heart at times that some evil, great evil will happen to his children. He'd say, well, I don't know whether they've done some evil. Let me quickly make sacrifice. Let me quickly do this and that. And finally, he revealed this weakness that was in him. In Job 3 and 25, chapter 3 and 25, he tells his friend, said, the thing that I greatly feared had come against me. Well, that's right. He was always carrying this fear inside of him, even though he was a righteous man, a man of integrity, a man that eschewed evil, a man that feared the Lord and did the right thing always. Yet he had this attitude. He also had this evil, you know, premonitions in his heart that something bad was going to happen. Well, the devil capitalized on it. If you go through life thinking that something bad is going to happen, always on edge like that, well, something bad may just well happen, you know. So what did he say exactly? He said, well, read it for yourself, Job 3 and 25. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of, you know, has come upon me. I was not in safety. Who told you were not in safety? Even the devil thought that he was in safety. The devil told the Lord, this guy is in safety. You put a shield around him. But Job himself, no, had this negative attitude. Thought he wasn't safe. Thought, you know, wasn't quiet. Thought this and that, you know. Said trouble. It was always half expecting problems anyway. And so the problems came. You know, let's not go through life always half expecting that something bad will happen. That's why you pray. You pray in the morning, like we did yesterday. Jesus said, deliver us from the evil. Paul said, you know, the Lord will deliver me from evil. He will preserve my soul unto his heavenly kingdom. You know, not expecting some evil, some thing to happen, some disappointment to happen. No, I expect to win because I'm a winner. Glory to God. If I'm in there, I'm competing. I'm competing to win. Don't compete just for competing. That somebody else is going to win. Why? Paul said, run that you may win and obtain the prize. You know, so if you're in a life's contest, anything, expect to win. Glory to God. And, you know, once you have that winning attitude, you know, it's a great way to combat, you know, limiting factors. It's a limiting factor that I can't do that. You know, I don't have the right training. I don't have the right education. You know, they told David, you don't have the right training. You're not militarily trained. This man's been trained all his life. You can't go up against him. Even his senior brother told him, go home. You know, you can't do this. Why are you here? Everybody was telling him what he couldn't do. Are you are you in that situation where everybody's always telling you what you can't do, what you cannot achieve? Why are you listening to that stuff? You know, why don't you listen to what the Lord said? I should go forward. Why don't you listen to what people like Paul said? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why are you listening to all that stuff that's here? You can't do that. Nobody ever done that. Who ever heard of such a thing? I can't be. Those are all negative loser attitude. No, that's not who we want to be. We want to be the winner, expecting to always win. Break forth with no limits. Age is not a limit as far as God is concerned. That didn't mean anything. You know, listen to what, you know, Caleb said when he was 85 years old. He said, look, I am 85 years old today, but I guarantee you, I can still go, you know, and if there's anyone come out against me, I'm going after him too. Because as I was 45 years ago, you know, even so I am now to go in for war, to go. I'm just as strong today at age 85, you know, as I was when I was 40 years old. I mean, this man, you know, he wouldn't quit. He wouldn't call himself, you know, I'm now aged. No. You know, age was not a limiting factor to him. And he said, look, I can still do this. I mean, just think about that. You know, most of the people that went to war were, you know, in their younger ages. And, but he had been fighting some wars, you know, since he was, I mean, for 45 years he'd been fighting. And he said, look, I can still do this, even at this age that I am. So he did not allow his age to be a limiting factor. So many of us allow our age to be a limiting factor. But Caleb said to Joshua, give me this mountain. Yeah, he's going to claim it. He said, look, you know how the man of God told me and you in that day that the Lord was going to reward us for our believing him? Well, he said, look, I tell you what, I'm 85 years old now. Joshua chapter 14, you can read it there. I'm 85 years old now, but I am still ready to go. I can do it. Age was not a limit to this guy. Limiting factor of age. Most people say, well, I'm old now. I can't do this. And this man said, no, I'm still as strong now at 85 as I was. You know, yeah. Listen to this. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 10. Now the Lord God has kept me, he said. You know, all this time has kept me. For 45 years, this man waited for 45 years to get a promise. Are you ready? And he said, look, I am 85 years old today. That was 40 years ago when the Lord gave me that promise. And I am yet as strong today, Joshua 14:11, as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, to go out for war and to come in and so forth. It doesn't matter. This man, age would not be a limiting factor to him. Many of us are limited by age. We say, well, you know, I'll leave that up to the young generation. You've already defeated yourself. You've already taken yourself out of the game when you think that way. You know, so he said, well, now therefore give me this mountain, even as the Lord spoke to me in that day. You heard it. You know. And so on. I can do this thing and I will do it again. I did it then. I'll do it again. You know, this man, you know, at age 85, didn't matter to him. We're told that even Moses at age 120, his natural force was not abated. You know, that was just a blessing that God put on Moses. But this man was Caleb was a different kind of man. He was the one using his mouth to say it. That age is not a barrier to me. whether I'm 85 or 40, it's the same thing as far as I'm concerned. I can still do it. So one limiting factor that I'm talking about right now is perception of age as being that, you know, that's, you know, well, now I'm older, I can't do these things, you know. So that's what people thought, you know. Yet, you know, here's what the psalmist said in Psalm 92. The righteous, verse 11, I mean verse 12, shall flourish like the palm tree, shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He's my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in him. Old age means nothing. See, age is nothing. Yeah, some people say it's just a number. Well, age is nothing. It's age. That's all there is to it. He's, you know, the psalmist even said, look, the Lord renews my youth like the eagles in Psalm 103. Said that. He renews my youth. So it didn't matter to him whether I was getting older or not. He said, look, Lord, forsake me not. I'm a little bit older now, but I can still go until I've shown that power to the generation, that glory to everyone that is to come. I can do these things. And he had that winner's attitude, and he would not settle for, oh, you can't do this. Jesus himself gave many promises to the winner. Yeah, he called it overcomer in, you know, King James, but he's the winner. Any promises? I'll give you the references for all the promises he said for the overcomer. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. I'm not going to read them. You can read them yourself. Revelation chapter 2, verse 11. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. And Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. Powerful promises. All the way from, you know, receiving a new name, open door, you know, and being set as a pillar, you know, and all that, even to sitting with me in my throne. Ha! Glory to God. You know, and then finally, Revelation 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Huh? That's for the winner. That's not for the loser. You know, no child of God is a loser. And not, you know, no child of God should ever lose hope, because we have the victory in Christ. You know, John, the aged apostle, at towards the end of his age or his life, he was writing many things to encourage the younger generation. Say, you young men, I'm writing to you because you are strong. You have overcome the devil. You are winners. Don't let the devil think, you know, tell you otherwise. You are strong, he told them multiple times. You overcome the devil. And he said, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Well, who is he that overcometh the world, he said. Yeah? You believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that you overcome the world. And he was always trying to encourage them to be a winner. Don't be a loser. Don't let the devil tell you that you're a loser. You are not a loser. You are a winner. There are so many people that grow up being told that they are losers. Unfortunately, you know, in the more depressed families in life and so forth, you know, some parents that whose minds are clouded by evil spirits, they say negative things to their children. That you're a loser. How can a parent call his child a loser? I say, well, you're a loser. You know, can't achieve anything. I say all these negative things. Well, of course, that child will turn out to be a loser. End up in the gang, end up in jail, or probably will end up dead because of all those negative things said to them, you know. But, you know, you who know better, you say those positive things, you know, to your child. You prophesy over them. Say, this child shall be for, you know, this and this. Rising up, falling of many. It will be this and that. It will be great. You know, people used to prophesy over their, you know, prophesy over John the Baptist, prophesy over Christ, you know, come prophesy over your child. You know, my child will be great, because the Bible already said it. You know, he said his seed, you know, listen to this. In Psalm 112, not only your children, but you yourself will be blessed and your children will be great, you know. So you speak those great things that are spoken and written of them in the Bible, you know. Speak them over your children. Never speak any negative thing. You know, never call your children a fool or dummy or this and that. No, you know, your children are the heritage of the Lord. They must be treated as such. You know, I said, look, you know, blessed is the man that feared the Lord in Psalm 112, that delighted greatly in his commandments, you know, to do them. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. You are bringing forth a generation of mighty folks. Yeah. They are conquerors. They are mighty. They are great. The children of the upright shall be blessed. You know, even wealth and riches will be in your own house too. Your righteousness. And this is how the Lord is going to bless you. Psalm 115 and verse 14. You and your children together. Not just your children. You know, no matter what phase you are in life, the blessing of the Lord coming to both you. It always starts with you too, actually. You know, the Lord shall increase you more and more. First you, right? And then he says you and your children. So it doesn't matter whether you are in your 60s or 70s. The Lord will still increase you. The Lord, the grace of God, the anointing of God, the calling of God in your life will still flourish no matter what age that you are in. Don't hang up the gloves and say, well, I can't do that anymore. Who did? You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Lord shall increase you more and more. You know, that's a great attitude. You know, you and your children, even Jesus, this prophecy was given about him, the way he said it. It always starts with the parent. That's the way that even Jesus said it. He said, look, I and the children that the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders. Isaiah chapter 8, you know, and verse 18. The children that the Lord has given. But he said, I. He didn't say just the children. I and the children. You know, so first you, whether you are 60, 70, whatever, it doesn't matter. Whether you are 30, 40, 50, doesn't matter. First you, I and the children. That's right. That are giving me, we are both for signs and wonders. And you will do great things in life. Have that winning attitude. Praise God. You are a winner because God put it in you. He said, look, dominate, have dominion, you know, over all these things. I've sent you forth, have power over all the power of the enemy. I mean, Jesus wanted us to have, you know, that winning attitude, you know. And Jesus demonstrated it many times. Some of us, you know, we find it hard to comprehend because we haven't really experienced these things, but we have the power. It's latent inside of us. It's like a dead seed, you know, but these messages are, you know, to inspire, to activate that winning attitude in you. And Jesus, you know, one time disciples were gone. The boat already left the station. It didn't matter. I'll just walk on the water and catch up with them. Glory to God. You know, so it doesn't matter to Jesus. Nothing mattered. You know, he had that attitude. He knew he could do it because the Father already showed him. For thousands to feed, no food at all. Doesn't matter. The Son of God is here. Glory to God. Bring it to me. Somebody said, well, they couldn't do it. This man, this boy, the devil is trying to kill him. Doesn't matter. Bring it to me. I'll take care of it. You know, I'll come and heal him. I mean, these were the words that were coming out of the mouth of Jesus all the time. Never a negative moment. And that's the way we need to be. First John chapter 4 and verse 17. As he is, so are we in this world. And was Jesus a winner? He said, put this body down and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. That's right. That's a winner's attitude. He knew he's coming out of that grave, you know, because the psalmist already prophesied and he knew what he was all about. He said, I will not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Jesus already knew that. And so he was able to say it ahead of time. You know, it doesn't matter. I'm coming out of that grave. Glory to God. You know, and what is it that we are going through? Isaiah 43:2 tells you, you will come out on the other side. You're going to win. So expect that going in, you're actually going through. That's right. That's a punchline for today. Going in, you are going actually going through. You're not just going in. If you are going, you may not come out, but you are going through. That means you're coming out on the other side. Expect to see the Lord on the other side. He's with you. And I see you on the other side. You know, because he said, when you pass through, that's right. Not when you go into the fire, but when you pass through, Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the fire, when you pass through the floods, no matter what, you know, through is on the other side. You are, you know, expect to get to the other side. I always expect that. The psalmist said it himself, you know, when he was talking about, you know, how the Lord is his shepherd and everything. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Take care of me and so forth. You know, even when I'm going through, he knew it. He was expecting to come out on the other side. That's why he said it the way he said it. Always expecting to come out on the other side. You know, Psalm 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I walk through. Now, he could have said, though I walk into the valley of the shadow of death. Well, if you walk into it, you're probably not expecting to come out. That's why you say into. But he didn't say that. He said, I'm walking through. That means I'm expecting to come out on the other side. You know, always expect to win in any situation. No matter what some people say, life dealt me a tough hand or whatever. No, Paul said, look, I don't care what life, you know, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a winner. Buffeted on every side, but I hold my head up. I can do all these things. You know, sometimes I'm hungry. Sometimes I'm full. Sometimes I'm this and that. Doesn't matter. I can do all things. That's a winner's attitude. Praise God. You know, and, you know, Psalmist finally closed Psalm 23 by saying, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. You know, he was always expecting good things to happen to him. He said, the lions are falling onto me in pleasant places. Well, you know, what is it? What is your declaration? What is your attitude over life? Are you always expecting to win? I mean, but let's not be like Job that was always expecting some bad thing to happen to his children. You know, it's good to be sensitive in his spirit and the Lord will show you things. And you pray and you put those things where they belong, away and under your feet. But don't be negative and thinking that some evil will happen. As a man thinketh, so he is. In his heart, so he is. Don't think evil in your heart. Don't expect to lose. You know, you go for an, you know, look, if you go for an interview for a job, expect to be the selected and the chosen one. That's it. You know, because the favor of the Lord is with you. Don't go in there with, well, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not as qualified as the others. You know, well, then why are you going there for? You go there expecting to win, you know. I remember my days of consulting. The Lord taught me the secret. And, you know, and when I would be interviewing for something, many times I'll tell them, look, you know, what are you waiting for? Wasting your time interviewing anybody else? You got me right here. You know, don't waste your time looking for anybody else. I'm the man. You know, I always went in there expecting to get the job, you know, and unless I didn't interview for it, but if I interviewed for it, I'm going to get it because got the favor of the Lord. I expect to win. I expect the lines to fall onto me in pleasant places, you know, and so forth. Expect a miracle every day. That's a song we used to sing like that. If you expect it, God will make a way to get it to you all the time. Praise God. Always expect to have abundance. You know, don't expect that you will never have enough. Some people say, well, I don't know. You know, I'm broke. I don't have money. And they keep telling themselves these negative things. You know, why would you say that? You know, when the Bible says, you know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 8:9, you know, how that though he was rich and everything, he gave it all up for you so that you might become rich. Hallelujah. Call yourself rich. Glory to God. Call yourself, you know, poor. Don't call yourself short-handed. Don't call yourself that you don't have enough. Look, you go up against anybody, expect to win. Hallelujah. Even if you have a court case, expect to win. Glory to God. Anything that's going, you know, anything, expect to win. Have that attitude that you're going to win. Why? Because the Lord is with you. He that is in you is greater than he that is without. This is not just some mind over matter type of, you know, mumbo jumbo. No, this is the word of the Lord. You know, even Jesus said, did not God call you gods? You know, why are you thinking of yourself down here? A chicken. When God says that you're an eagle. A chicken always scratching, looking for, can't find anything. Scratch all day, will find nothing. Eagle doesn't waste his time scratching the ground. No. You know, you're an eagle. You're not a chicken like that. You know, think of yourself. I'm a child of God. Glory to God. You lift up your head. Shake yourself from the dust. Hallelujah. Isaiah 52 and verse 2. A child of God, don't put your ashes on your head. So, you know, put ashes on your head. Shake yourself from the dust. Lose yourself from the bands around your neck. Don't let the devil pull anything over your eyes and tell you otherwise. No, you're a winner. Glory to God. God said to Abraham, I said, hey, look, yeah, you choose first, he told Lot. You know, whatever, you know, there's no need for it. Abraham was a peaceful man. He didn't want all this bickering, fighting over stuff. He said, look, I tell you what, there's plenty of room for everybody. So why don't you go this way? I'll go that way. And if you go that way, I'll go this way. You know, you just choose first. You know, Lot comes out there, looks at all the green stuff, and chooses that. Now, Abraham saying, well, okay, whatever. You know, and as soon as that happened, the Lord came to him and reminded him of who he was. That's right. I'm going to remind you what I said to you. It is you I said to that I will give this to. Not Lot, not anybody else. I'm going to give this to you. I want you to come out here. I'm going to show you something. From the place where you are, think big. Think big. Hallelujah. And some people don't know how to think big. Well, think big. God told Abraham, think big. The more you see and can visualize, the more I will give unto you. Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 to 18. Come out here. Look to the left. Look to the right. Look east, west, north, south, everywhere. All that you can see. You got to see more to get more. Think big. Because your God is big. Don't think little. Praise God. You know, the prophet one day, he told the king, prophet was dying, Elisha, told the king, you know, well, shoot your arrows and so forth. The man shot the arrows 3 times and the prophet was angry. So why you stop at 3? Why didn't you shoot it 5 or 6 or 8 times? Well, because you shot at 3 times only, and that's all, you're only going to get 3 victories. Well, the prophet didn't know that what they were doing was prophetic. He was thinking small, you know, small thinking. Said, well, you know, no, said, think big. You should have thought big. You should have shot 6 or 7 times and the Lord would have given you 8 victories and over your enemy and you would have vanquished them completely. But because you only shot 3 times, you know, then you're only going to get these 3 victories. You can read that story in 2 Kings chapter 13 from verse 15 to about 19. And, you know, Joash or whatever, Joash was his name of the king at the time. And the Lord told him, look, you're going to get victory over these Syria folks and so on. But because you only stopped at 3, you're only going to get 3 victories. Now, he didn't know that, you know, what he was dramatizing there was going to signify the number of victories. You know, so why think small? Think big. You know, think big. Why stop at 3 when you can get 8? Why stop at 30-fold when you can get 60-fold? Why even stop at 60 when you can get 100-fold? Why? You know, go big. Think big. Enlarge your thinking. Don't be limited by circumstances or situations. Don't be limited by giants that appear to be on the way. You know, some people were actually limited by the Red Sea. All of them were. They come out of Egypt. Read the story in Exodus 14. The Red Sea is in their way. That's a limiting factor. You're not going anywhere. You can't cross the Red Sea. It has never happened before. We were escaping, we thought, from Pharaoh. Now Pharaoh is charging down us and there's no place to go. The Red Sea is in front of us. Did you bring us out here to die? Were there no graves in Egypt? Yeah, you know, that's right. That's what they thought. You know, they were limited by the Red Sea, they thought. But God, they did know that God could make a way through the Red Sea. You know, so what are your Red Sea moments? Every one of us will face those things at different times. God has promised you something tremendous, but then there is this giant obstacle in front of your way. And the devil tells you, you can't make it. You can't go through the Red Sea. Whoever heard of such a thing? How are you going to do it? But the Lord pulled out something spectacular in that moment. Yeah, because the word of the Lord is not bound. Bound only by, limited only by the scope of our belief. The level of your faith, you see. The Bible says the Lord is able. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. This powerful verse that we quote all the time. See, you know, it has a secret to it. It can be limited, you know, all the things about, you know, God can do all these things exceeding great and abundant and even more. No, it is limited to the level of the power that's working in you. You know, the limit of your faith. Yeah, that's, you know, that's how you can get. You can't get any, and the limit of your revelation too. Cannot get anything beyond that. So let's read it again. Ephesians 3, and 20. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Yeah, God is able to do it. It doesn't mean he's going to do it or you're going to get it, but he's able. But the level that you get is according to the power that's in you, that working in you. The level of your belief systems can limit the power of God. That's limiting factors, our belief systems. You know, if you believe that death is final, yeah, you're limited by that. Somebody dies, we all believe that it's final. Yeah. Even Martha and Mary and everybody, they thought it was final. And Jesus said, no, I'm the resurrection and the life. And call him out of there. She couldn't figure out what he was saying because nobody ever heard of such a thing. The man's already in the grave for 4 days. You know, so it's final. Well, I know he's coming out of there. I have the hope of the resurrection. And Jesus said, I'm not talking about that. You know, don't be limited in your thinking. And get that man out of there right now, in this moment, today. She couldn't grasp that at all. You know, what is it that we are facing in our lives? You say, well, I never heard, that's never happened before. Well, that never stopped God. You know, you can be the trailblazer. You can be the one that will be the first to believe that. Enoch was like that. I always go back to Enoch because, you know, after all, this house called Walking with God is patterned after his life. So everybody else was expecting to die. Enoch was expecting to live. You know, say, well, we're waiting to die. Say, but you're not dead yet. Yeah, but the Lord said we will die the day that we do that. Well, I don't see you dead yet. Say, well, yeah, but it's only a matter of time. We're going to die, Adam said. And I said, well, we'll see about that. You know, I mean, all of them were sitting around waiting to die. This man, Enoch, was going to figure out, you know, a way to defeat death and all of that. And he did, too. Is that nobody ever went, you know, with God without dying? Every one of them died and every rest of them were waiting to die. But Enoch didn't. There's always, there can always be that first time. You can be that trailblazer. It doesn't matter. God never done it before. Well, you don't know that he never done it. Could be that you never heard. But even if he had never done it, He can always do it the first time. All he needs is somebody that will believe. Scripture says in Psalm 42, you know, and verse 7 or so, that, you know, the deep calls unto the deep. What does that mean? The things that God can do, you can pull them out by the depth of your faith and revelation in him. That's how it works, you know. Deep calleth unto the deep. Yeah, you know, there's all these things, the ability, there's nothing God cannot do, but you're going to pull it out by your faith. But if you can limit what God can do for you because you don't believe more, then you have less, you know. But if you can believe more, believe for more, you know, God can do it. Just keep believing and he'll do it. Praise the Lord. Now, we do not want to limit God. These people, as we read in, you know, in the Psalms, they limited the Holy One of Israel. And God was angry with them. And he said, well, you're not going in. But the ones that believed God, they were not defaced. They would not be afraid of giants or Perizzites or Hittites or Jebusites or anybody or even the Canaanites or the final one to get them out of there. I said, look, we can do it all. Our God is with us. Other people say we can't do it. You know, so, you know, how do you overcome these limits? Sometimes there are even artificial limits that we impose upon ourselves. God never put those limits there. God never said that, you know, if you get to a certain age, you can't do something anymore. But we put those limits on ourselves. You know, and most of it, lack of knowledge, lack of understanding, lack of faith, even unbelief, and fear. These are the limiting factors. How do you overcome that? You use the word of God and see stories in the word of God like the ones we told today that overcame these things. Glory to God. Because their stories are also for our examples. You know, they overcame. I mean, people overcame. Read Hebrews 11. See all the things they overcame. Even the edge of the sword. Even the fiery furnace. They overcame it. They overcame lions in the den and so forth. I mean, nobody ever went to that lion's den and came out alive. But Daniel did. Nobody ever got thrown into the fire and came out alive. But what? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. You know, they did not limit God. They said, our God is able to do it and he will do it. Now, do you believe that God is able to do whatever it is and give you victory over any situation they are facing? Before even that situation, develop the winning attitude that no matter what confronts me, I will win. God, the Lord is with me. Yeah. If you are with the Lord, some people say one with God is a majority. Well, you are a winner. You know, Elijah didn't care if there was 400 prophets and another 450 of the group or whatever. Didn't matter. He had the word of the Lord. Go up against 850 people at once. Micaiah, the rest of them, all of them were like that. They didn't care if everybody else was saying it. 400 people against them. Well, they were a winner. And they win. Each time. They always win. David was a winner. We win. Nations compass me round about by as beasts. In the name of the Lord, I will destroy them all. He didn't care. Didn't matter the numbers of people, you know, that were against him, and even the odds were stacked up against him. Let me read this powerful testimony of David. How he had this winning attitude always. Praise the Lord. Now, he was in a lot of distresses, but let's see how, you know, his experience. In Psalm 118, verse 3, he said, I called upon the Lord in my distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. You know, so what can man do unto me? Same thing he said in Psalm 27. You know, the Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire upon them that hate me. He already had expecting to win. That's right. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Better to trust in the Lord and put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about. Doesn't matter to this man. in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. He was expecting to win. Win the conflict, win the battle, win the war. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about body in the name of the Lord. Now, he hasn't defeated them yet, but he's saying, I will destroy them. He is expecting to be the winner in the conflict. I go in expecting to win. I'm not going in with, hoping that, I win. No, was expecting to win. Compass me about by bees. Like bees, they are quenched as the fire of tongues. In the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Now, notice that he's saying, I will. He's not saying I have destroyed them. The situations that he's going, facing, but he's going in expecting to be the winner. He's expecting, I will destroy them. I will set my face like a flint. I know the Lord God will help me. I will not be ashamed. I'm going to win. That's right. That's how you do it. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. He's recounting the times when the Lord helped him, and then he's using those testimonies of the past to garner strength for what lies ahead. And everything. He was even expecting to be, to have long life. He said in Psalm verse 17 of this Psalm 118, I shall not die, but live. That's a winner's attitude. And declare the works of the Lord. Now, I want everybody to grab a hold of that verse. I will not die, but I will live to declare, the doings of the Lord. And this was a man that was always expecting to win. What's your expectation? Remember, Proverbs 23 and verse 18 says, there is an end to whatever situation, but that end is that your expectation shall not be cut off. Even the Lord said it in Jeremiah 29:11 when he told that, look, my thoughts are for you, they're for good and not evil. Peace and good to give you an expected end. What is the expected end? Are you going in expecting to win? That's right. Have that expectation that you will be the winner. And don't limit yourself. One time in Luke chapter 5, Peter and his friends, they limited themselves. They said, look, we've done this all night long. The fish are just not biting. Not today. We'll come back some other time. So they washed their nets. They packed it in. They gave up. That was a very sad, sorrowful day for them because they toiled all night. They knew how to do this. They were master fishermen and they knew when to go. But this day, nothing was happening. And so they were discouraged. They washed their nets and gave up. And then here comes the master. Glory to God. Launch out into the deep. Don't limit yourself. Stay here on the shore bemoaning your losses. No. Go back out there. Peter said, look, we've done that, been there and done that. He said, look, go back. Do it again. Do it again. But this time, I'm going to show you the strategy of how to do it. Praise God. Don't limit yourself. Step out in faith. But keep your eyes on the Lord. Lord, can I come? Can I come? If it be you, bid me step out in the water. Jesus said, well, come. Come. All the other disciples said, Peter, you can't do that. You can't walk on water. You're not Jesus. And Peter walked on water. He absolutely did. He walked on water. He walked on water. And he walked on water. I was walking towards Jesus. I don't know how many steps he took, but he did actually walk on the water. Until he limited himself. Now, I can't walk on water. I can't walk on water. What am I doing? Look around and say, my goodness, I can't walk on water. Then he began to sink because he thought he couldn't do it. The moment you think you can't do it, you've already limited yourself. That's right. People quit. People that quit, they already lost. When you quit, you've lost. Until you quit, you haven't lost yet. So don't be a quitter because that means you're a loser. if you quit. And there is no loser on this platform. I'm not speaking to losers. I'm speaking to winners. Because you are the child of the living God. And if you are not, well, you come on into the winning side. Glory to God. You know, so we, you know, these messages are for transforming average believers to champions of faith. That's right. And some of you have that testimony too, to the glory of God. Maybe wait, before you came in on this platform, you were just an average believer. You are always 50-50 kind of belief system. Maybe it will work, maybe it won't. Maybe God will do it, maybe God will not do it. You go in like that, you will get nothing from the Lord because you're a double-minded man, James said. But you come in at this platform, and through these messages, we're building resilience. We're building capacity to believe God for more, you know. And you know that I can do all things. I can be the winner. I'm going to get there. I'm going to be that. Glory to God. And I will be, you know, a winner in this because God called me the winner. God put that upon Adam from the beginning. Dominate. Have dominion over everything. Let everything be subject to you. That's right. As long as he was in obedience, everything was subject to him. Praise God. You know, so let's go with the winner. So in summary, we want to go with the winner's attitude. Here are the summary of the things that we need to overcome, the limiting factors. Age. So, well, I'm too old. I can't do that. Well, Caleb and the rest of them, that meant nothing to them. Sammy said, the Lord can renew my youth. Well, unbelief and fear is a limiting factor. That which I greatly feared has come unto me, Job said, and it did come unto him. You know, he should have not entertained that fear that some evil was going to happen to his children. Well, he did. Yeah. So don't entertain that evil. When you have negative thoughts, deal with it right away and pray until you get the victory. That's right. Once you get the victory in your mind, then declare positive things. Don't ever speak the negative thing. Even if the thought comes in your head, shake it off. Speak the positive thing only. Glory to God. Don't speak the negative thing, because as a man speaketh, you know, you are ensnared. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 2, you are ensnared with the words of your mouth. So don't ever say you can't do that, or this evil is going to happen, or that's not going to happen. You know, some people, you know, they go out expecting, you know, that some evil will happen to them. I mean, people will say, I've heard people say, even believers say, well, you know, you can get out of this building and get hit by a truck. You know, why would you say that? You know, what? I've heard people preaching say something like that because they're trying to tell people to be prepared. And they say negative things like, why would I get out of this building and get hit by a truck? No, I will not get hit by a truck because the Lord is able to keep me. The angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him. Psalm 34 verse 7. All I need to do is fear the Lord, and the angel of the Lord will keep me from evil. I don't need to think that get out there, I'm going to be hit by a truck. Some evil is going to happen to me. I'm going to get sick. I'm going to be in contact with some evil disease and all this. No, it's not going to happen. You know, got to have that winner's attitude. Praise the Lord. By the grace of God, we're learning these things. By the grace of God, I'm learning to live the victorious life, you know, and every year I do my physical for years. They've been telling me, you know, you have this low white blood count and so forth. Yeah, I don't know what, you know, at first I didn't know for years ago when I started what it meant. I said, well, what does it mean? They said, well, that means you will get sick easily. You won't have the defense systems. I said, that's what you think, you know. And I said, no, I don't care white, low, white, low white or low red or whatever. I'm a winner. Glory to God. The life also of Jesus flowing through my mother flesh. Hallelujah. Begin to quote it for myself. Till this day, you know, they said, look, if you're around sick people, you will get sick because you don't have the defense systems. Well, to God be the glory. I never got sick. All COVID and everything, never. Till this day, never. Praise the Lord. Because I believe, you know, that I've been a winner. Glory to God. And the Lord protected me and is still protecting me. I can do the same for you. But if you go in with a fearful, you know, heart that, oh, I'm going to get sick. Or I'm going to catch something. Or I'm going to be in an accident. Or I'm going to be in some evil. I remember years when I was traveling, you know, I used to travel every week, fly all over this country, everywhere, you know. Go on Mondays, come back on Fridays and all that stuff, you know. And there were thoughts, even people said to me, you know, that, oh, you know, they saw that I was involved in the crash. I said, me? No, I'm not involved in any crash. That's not going to happen. The devil brought it to me also, you know, in a dream that I was involved in a crash, you know, and so forth. I knew it was the devil, wasn't the Lord, because in the dream, when you're afraid, that's the devil. You know, God never brings fear. And I said to myself, I will never be in a crash or any such thing. It's, you know, it will not happen. And all those years, 14 years that I traveled, despite all the negative thoughts, I went in expecting to get to where I'm going, expecting to come back. And I did, by the grace of God, to the glory of God. And you can do the same. And people say, well, don't go to that place. It's a dangerous place. We went and we came back and we saw no evil at all. You know, and say, oh, yeah. You know, they're doing all these things in Nigeria. If you go there, these things, and so, well, we did. You know, said, oh, well, you know, we even drove through dangerous places. I drove through places that I'd never been, a route that I never knew, you know, full of bushes. In fact, I said, well, my goodness, I didn't know there was all this bush. Anything could have jumped in. Nothing jumped out. Glory to God. Went in there expecting to get to where we're going, and we got there. Always expect to be the winner and win and get through where you're going. Praise the Lord. The Lord didn't bring us here just to dump us. We're going all the way. All the way. I believe God all the time. So let's cut out all those losing thoughts and negative thoughts and so forth. Let's be positive in our mind. See the glass, you know, the halfway water in the glass as half full rather than half empty. See the roses rather than the thorns. See the lines that are falling onto you in pleasant places rather than the troubles that I'm in. Don't ever sing, you know, this blues song, you know, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. What trouble? You know, no evil shall befall me, neither shall any plague come on my dwelling. My lines are falling onto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. That's the attitude of the winner. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray over the room. You know, I'm challenging your attitude through life today. Have the same attitude for your children. No matter what they are going through today, you know, the Bible says that your children will come back from the land of the enemy. That's right. Even if today they are astray, they will not be astray. Because the Lord said, look, teach them and they will not depart. So if they depart, then the Lord said, they will come back. Glory to God. Now, do you believe that they will come back? Listen to this. In Jeremiah 31 and verse 16, thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, you know, and your eyes from tears, for thy work over these children shall be rewarded. That's right, saith the Lord. They shall come again from the land of the enemy. They're going to come. And there is hope in thy end, saith the Lord, that thy children, he's talking about children, shall come again to their own border. If they went away, they're coming. So declare it so. Yeah. Even Job said, look, when things are going bad and you look around, looks like there is none, he said, no. Declare that it will sprout again. That's what he said. You know, there is hope of a tree, though it be cut down. Looks like it's cut down right now. I said, but through the scent of water, it will sprout again. Job 14 and 7. And this message is to give you that scent of water. Energize that faith, that winner attitude in you. That you can win. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All things can conquer every situation. Up, down, principalities, life, angels, death, whatever. And more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens you. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for everyone that's listening. Let that winner attitude be activated in us. Glory to God. Never this losing, you know, defeatist attitude. You know, let's get rid of it. I pray that everybody will be bold in the Lord. Bible say, they that know their God, Daniel 11 and 32, shall be strong and they will do exploits. Say, I will do exploits. I'm a winner. I'm strong in the Lord. Yeah? Even when you are weak, you say, I'm strong. When you are poor, you say, I'm rich. Huh? That's right. Because when I'm down, you say I'm up. The Bible say when men are down, when they say their situation is down, you say, I will be a lifting up. Glory to God. Job chapter 22. God will bring good things your way by the posture of your heart and the declarations of your mouth for yourself and for your children. You know, the Lord will increase you and your children more and more. Many parents, rightfully so, you know, they are troubled over, you know, situations with their children. But your children are winners. Glory to God. You know, Jesus said, your Father in heaven, you know, cares for you himself. You don't even need anybody pray for you. Your Father loves you himself. He'll take care of you. Praise God. You know, believe in the Lord, and so shall you be established. Believe also his prophets, and so shall you prosper. May the word of the Lord that we have heard today prosper in our hearts and prevail in our lives, over our situations. You know, change, help us to change our mindset. It's a shift from a losing, defeatist attitude to winner's attitude. And overcoming all the limitations, artificial limitations we put on ourselves. We're going to break forth. We're going to expand. We're going to increase. We're going to live. We're not going to die. And our children will be great upon the earth. Our seed will be mighty upon the earth. And the Lord will make us head and not the tail. The Lord will open his good treasure unto us. And we will inherit the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And the devil cannot disinherit us from the blessings of the Lord. And I will go in the strength of the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This day, we go in the strength of the Lord. This day, we declare that the lines are falling unto us in pleasant places. You and your children. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.